Could I have one more bite then? Could I have one more bite?
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you? What's the procedure now for the stations to give you archival material? I know KPFK gives you probably everything because you're right there, and so they're very proud of what they produce, so they give it to you, I'm assuming. But, for example, are you getting material that's archived from KPFT, for example? And what's the procedure for, you know, because I'm looking forward, I'm thinking, are we adequately archiving what we've got now?
That is a great question. And I will say that I set up a digital connection with the telco at KPFK in about 2008. And since then, we have 24/7 recordings of everything that's been on the KPFK airwaves. And it used to go to, we didn't really have a budget for that. And man, I would get resistance from the then director and all of the advisors, like, we can't afford this. And I just kept going out and buying these external hard drives. And when I became director, I ended up putting all of those drives on a server. So now they're RAID protected and they're really an important part of our collection. Now, I don't have that with the other stations, but I believe Otis has a pretty robust archive. And ultimately, when I take care of these 50,000 tapes with the next grant that I get, I would like to grab, you know, all of the remaining stations' digital archives as far back as they go, and then we can begin cataloging those as well. I know they exist. I've been assured by John and Otis that they exist. We haven't had the time to get those, but when we ingest those, they're going to be archived like the rest of our collection.
Okay, I'll come back to this. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa. Anita.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to make a comment to Mark. Nice meeting you, Mark. I don't think we've ever talked.
Hi, Anita.
My main name is my mother's main name was Torres, by the way, so we could be related.
All right. We're primos.
But anyway, these statements are accrual, so we are recording whether you get paid or not, if you will. I just wanted to make a comment on that. Also, Mariana has been very, very helpful. Just wanted to say that. I also had a couple of questions for her, and she was able to answer them. And I realize that even her other duties is payroll also. She actually provides a spreadsheet and sends to our staff at NTA. So, again, just wanted to comment on that. It's a pleasure working with her. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anita. Our Paul.
Okay. Let me first ask. I guess whatever you get out of Otis when you're ready is going to be the stuff that's up on the archives now. But in the the tapes you're using? How are you digitizing them? In what form? Is it WAV files or MP3s or something else?
Well, it really depends, but basically we have these Swiss-made Studer tape machines, which are the industry standard. They're almost impossible to get today, but we have two of the best, and we digitize them to both our hard drives and to a CD, and the CD is burnt as a uncompressed WAV file. And the MP3s, they're compressed, but they're easier to use and are more gentle on storage. But ultimately, the WAV file is really what we want to have, at least one WAV file. And written into our grant is going to be long-term storage on supercomputers that will be storing them on as WAV files. But in the archives right now. They're stored as MP3s on our server and uncompressed WAV files on CDs.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you have WAV files there.
Also,
I'd like to congratulate you on presenting a budget that is basically, it has formulas and everything, and this is the way we were doing it for a while, and it's the way I hope we get back to doing it the next time we're doing budgets not too long from now. So, thank you.
You're welcome, and I owe Mariana all the credit. She actually started out as one of the business managers at the national office, and she is incredible at keeping records, and she's old school. I feel like I've been around forever at 31 years. She's been around another 15 or 18 years beyond that, so... she is amazing at keeping these records.
Anything else, R. Paul? You have one more bite if you have something.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Lyndon.
Good evening, Mark.
Hi, Lyndon.
I wanted to ask you about the 350,000 listeners to use or people who are able to listen to this on SoundCloud, because as I've been thinking about the archives, thinking, man, I sure would like to be able to get a sample of some of these things that I see, you know, and see what's in them or something, listen to a little bit. So it is on your website, is there a way to get to that?
Interestingly enough, we don't really advertise our SoundCloud playlist, on our website. This is people organically searching for things and then they find it and then they share it and then it goes viral. It goes nuts. I mean, we have a couple of things. I'll tell you what really is our number one advertiser is not just the users, but we get magazine articles on digital magazines that write about us. Like they profiled our 1962 Bob Dylan recording, the first interview he did when he was 20.
Right. Right.
And like the Rosa Parks and I'll tell you what our John Coltrane from 1967 and our George Orwell 1984 read. I put that up Trump got elected as president, I put our entire reading up, and that exploded us from John Coltrane went up first, and that really hit hard. But the next year was George Orwell, and it is still our number one played program, and it goes viral. It goes on like Reddit and all these other web sharing platforms, and it goes viral on its own. So we haven't really done anything on our own. We're just viewing what does the average public, that's not even necessarily a Pacifica listener, what do they think of our collection? And it's been amazing to discover how much they love our audio. But the digital archive streaming website that I'm developing right now, that one will be Pacifica specific, and that will be, you know, advertised on all of our Pacifica station websites, our national office, our affiliates, the PRA.
Do you have a date for that?
I don't have a date because I lost my web developer, who he respectfully bowed out. This is like a $50,000 to $100,000 development, because we're basically creating a Spotify like website, and the quotes I got were unaffordable for us. And I got a physics guy who is on the Mars project at JPL, who already has one of these websites, and the mission to Mars was in turbocharge mode, and he had to bow out. He was only going to charge us $2,500, basically giving us the formula. I'm about to, now that the mission has landed, I'm about to re-ask him to see if he will do it on a small scale so that we have the infrastructure of the website, and then I can work with other people to build it out to more of our collection. But, you know, it was supposed to be done by now. If he would have been on the project, he would have developed it within weeks, and right. It would have been up and running. So finding somebody that will do it at an affordable rate has been challenging, and if any of you have a suggestion on this, I'm happy to accept that. I would just say that the person who does this has had to have done it before, because all of the quotes that I get for this web development is, well, it's going to cost you $30,000 initially, and if we run into any trouble, it's going to be more. And that's something that we just can't afford.
Excuse me, Mark. I have to point out to the committee that we are now about at the end of our time for this. I want to know sure. if people, anyone would like to move to extend.
This is Lyndon. I'd like to move to extend for 15 minutes.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, we'll
Chair,
go ahead.
I might to object. Hold on. I might object to
go
it.
Ahead,
I
go am, ahead, Chris.
How much time will we have after this, and can we get to? Can we complete the additional items that are on the agenda?
Good question. We will be up against it in 15 minutes. By my clock, it's going to be 10:05, which will give us another 10 minutes, unless we extend the meeting.
I'd like to extend the meeting for 15 minutes and allow this to allow this discussion to continue.
All right. So is that an amendment?
That's an amendment. Yeah. So both. I'm suggesting that we extend both the discussion and the meeting for 15 minutes.
Okay. Any discussion or objection?
Hold on.
Go ahead, Arpaul.
Get it written down.
Okay. Take your time.
Thanks, Arpaul.
Appreciate what you do.
Okay, so, oh, God, that's so badly formatted. So the amendment from Chris is to also extend the meeting for 15 minutes. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the amendment.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider it done. And I have 9:52 now, so that'll extend us.
Now you have to pass the motion as amended.
The main motion, yeah, thank you. Any objection? Hearing none, we're good.
I'd like to get on the stack, James.
I hear you, Chris. I'm going to put you in front of Teresa. Sharon is next. Mark, were you done with your last answer?
Yes.
And Lyndon, had you had your three bites at the apple?
Are you happy for now? Put me back on.
If you want another one,
please.
We'll give it to you. You were interrupted.
Okay, I'll take it. Mark, you have the premium sales to non-Pacifica at $50,000. Do you know who those customers are, whether they're Pacifica people or people that find us other ways? And is this at $18 or $19 a pop? I mean, you know, do you know 2,000 items or whatever?
Sure. The quick answer is it's really all over the place. They find us in different ways, and they have different needs. And the minimal single tape or single digital, we're distributing a lot of things digitally now. We just send them an MP3 file instead of burning CDs, saves on expenses. And that is around $19 a piece per program. If we have to pull a tape off and transfer it, it's a $50 transfer fee. That happens a lot. And And it can be anywhere from loyal Pacifica listeners to just random people that are doing searches for people they like, or family members, or, you know, all sorts of interesting historical people. So we get inquiries every day, you know, dozens really. And we do know who they are. We have their addresses and phone numbers and email addresses.
All right, let's go to Sharon. Thank you.
Okay, hi, Mark. This is Sharon Adams. I don't think we've ever spoken before, so just wanted to say
Sharon.
Hi.
All right.
Very, very impressive this report, so thank you for sharing all that and the budget.
Yeah.
So, just looking at the budget, I just want to make sure I understand. So when looking at the central services, I think Anita was trying to explain this too, but just so it shows, like for WBAI, for example, it does show payments being made, or it shows like numbers in the black, but I guess what you're saying is that you aren't actually receiving those numbers that are shown like on line 34 there?
That's correct. These numbers were given to us. I mean, we were given this spreadsheet that had those numbers inserted, but they haven't been received. But we have a record of what actually has been received. Mariana has a separate, you know, in-house spreadsheet that tallies each of the station's payments for the last 20, 30 years.
Mm, okay. And so just I did some math while I was waiting for my turn. And, you know,
sure.
WBAI's monthly payment is $2,111 times 12 would be about $25,000 for the year. And then you also said, if I understand, that WPFW also is making a few but not all of their payments, and theirs is around $1,000 a month, so that might be another $10,000, I guess. So that's like $35,000 that you're not receiving. So that wipes out your income surplus, or makes you kind of break even, right? I just want to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, that's right. WPFW actually made two payments that were about $4,000 each. So it turned out to be like $8,000 over the last 2 months. So they kind of made up for some non-payments. But, yes, you are correct. There are some additional payments from WPFW that need to be subtracted as well. And that brings us much closer to even.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
You done, Sharon?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Mark, it's my turn. I'm going to ask just a general question, I guess, about what some call monetizing the PRA and how to. That's, in fact, the next subject for us coming up on the agenda after our ICFO report. So I don't know if we'll get to it tonight. I think it is the next item, because we put it together with your report, so you would be here for the conversation if you chose to stay.
Sure.
So one of the things that I hear from people, I've even heard it come out of my own mouth, is a concern that when you give away huge amounts of the archive for, you know, if somebody gives $100 and they get 1,000 hours or something, that might be somehow not frugal, and, you know, perhaps it would be better to do it some other way. So I'm just wondering about that, and also about, are there ways, I mean, when something goes viral, it goes viral, and I know you can't put it back in the box, but how would we capture the value that you're seeing that people give to what you have when it does go viral? How would we capture that better or at all?
Well, that's why I am prudently pushing forward with our streaming archive, so that we aren't putting these things out there. They can only listen to them and listen to them on their mobile devices. You know, people don't even have, you know, laptops don't even have CD player. People don't even know what a CD is. And so, yes, we're trying to move as quickly as possible to our streaming website so that we're no longer putting those things out there. That being said, once we have the digital streaming out there, and even currently, you know, we can send cease and desist letters to anybody that's got our archive material up on YouTube and using it in a way that we haven't signed off on. We haven't got the legal, you know, resources or the financial resources to hire somebody to do that, but it happens all the time. I mean, I have a music show on KPFK, a Latin alternative music show that I've had for 25 years. I just got a certificate from the city of LA signed by the mayor and all the city council people to congratulate me for providing a valuable resource to the Latin community here in Southern California. And if I put something up on YouTube that it has does not have authorization, the record companies will stop that YouTube channel. They will take it down and it will cease to be able to stream. I mean, it would be great to have a legal team that would do that with Pacifica materials. So, they would have to come to us to license it to do something like that. But, so I would say the short answer to that is, we can combat it by starting to stream, and ultimately, as we get more resources, we will have to send cease and desist letters to people who are using our materials without authorization, and that's just standard now. YouTube has arrangements with the record labels. They don't want to get sued by Sony or Warner Brothers or Universal, so if anybody puts out a warning on something, they will take it down right away. So that would be my vision for being able to get our materials out there and then to start cease and desisting with people that are illegally using our materials.
Thank you. So it's copyright enforcement, basically.
Yes.
I have one more bite at the apple, but I'm going to forego it because we're going to run short of time. And Teresa, before you go for your next turn, I'm going to stick Chris in there because he hasn't asked any questions yet, okay?
All right, go ahead.
Very good. Chris?
Okay, I'll try to be brief. First of all, it's good to hear your voice. This is Chris Corey, and I've been a fan of the archives for some time, so I really appreciate you being here to discuss the archives fulsomely on at the
Thank
BND.
You.
At the
Thank you.
Thank you. The I want to congratulate you for being one of three divisions of Pacifica that's consistently presented balanced budgets for the last several years that I've been part of this committee.
All right.
You're welcome. I had three quick questions for you. The first is that in the current fiscal year, you guys are receiving funds through the payroll protection plan, which offsets some of the costs associated with your operations. Do you have any specific plans for use of those funds? I mean, I would imagine that they're just going to go into archiving more material, but if there's some specific plan that you had to reap the benefit of this proceed, it's not a bequest. I'm not coming up with a grant. There we go. I'm wondering what you will do with it. I'm going to give you all three questions, and I can circle back and repeat them if you need me to.
Sure.
Second of all, I wanted to question whether, due to the fact that you guys are underfunded by through central services, whether your funding for operations is sufficient. That's just a very yes or no kind of question. And then finally, I had a question about your fund drive. I know that it's a one-day fund drive. I know that it's in November. But is it over all the stations, or is it just broadcast over once? I don't understand how that fund drive takes place. So if you could explain that briefly, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. The fund drive is on all five Pacifica stations. The network has agreed to give us the one day, give us their airwaves for 15 hours. So it is national. In answer to your question, what will we use our funds for? And it kind of ties into us being underfunded by the central services. You know, having a shortfall from the stations, you know, definitely hurts us because we're a small unit and we don't have access to the airwaves like everyone else does. So we don't have a big way to promote ourselves in that way. If we were able to have regular central services money, this would help us enormously. And I think that the PPE funds have helped offset some of that deficit in this particular case. In past years, our fundraising has been over and beyond what the deficit is by lack of central services, and we've been able to absorb that. But on a regular basis, if everybody pays their central services, we're healthier, we're less stressed, and we don't have to be thankful for things like a PPE loan to help us pay for payroll for 2 months.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Was that everything, Chris?
Yeah, that just about covers it. I'm gathering that what's budgeted for the station is sufficient to cover the basic needs of the station if those payments were made. Is that would you characterize that as correct?
I would. Of course, if we got another percentage point, of course, that would relieve a lot more stress for Mariana. But yes, I would say that if at this even current rate, things were paid regularly, that would be sufficient.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Teresa, we're going back to you now for a second bite.
Okay, I'll try to be brief, but I think I have about four questions. Mark, do you think that your fund drive is adequately promoted by the stations? I mean, I don't recall getting a email blast, for example, from KPFT in November saying, oh, there's going to be an archive pledge drive. And I'm just wondering if you can tell if it's been adequately promoted from all angles, and can you tell from the donations that come in from the different areas whether some of the stations need to promote it maybe a little better?
I would say that we could always probably use better promotion. I think we produce a general audio, a 30-second audio promotional clip that we send to all of the stations. The majority of funds are from Los Angeles and the San Francisco Bay Area, but there are a significant number of donations also from New York, D.C., and Houston. So any one of those is off. If we lose any one of those, you know, that's a significant chunk out of our total.
Okay. How much does the station pay you for and one item, one premium, for example?
That really is the reason for the central services funding. We try and literally just charge the station our expenses so that, that's why when I said at the beginning that we've raised $5 million for the network, a majority of the money goes to the stations when we provide the premium. So, for example, a $250 64 gig jump drive, out of $250, $25 goes to us and $225 goes to the station. So we try and keep to the 10% rule.
Okay. And then the affiliates are also buying your premiums too, right?
They aren't doing it as much. And I would really like to, I've I proposed that to Ursula on a few occasions, and I really would like to get that up and running as well, to provide just a few set gifts using our materials that the affiliates can use. And that would help us out and be an additional revenue stream.
Okay. Do you attend Grassroots Radio Conference, yes or no?
No.
Okay, you might want to promote it there.
That's four, Teresa. Can you wrap
it
up?
Can I have one
more
bite?
Go ahead.
Okay, about 15 or 20 years ago, a lot of archival material at KPFA was given away to a university. Have you any idea of the terms of that transfer? Have you ever seen that? And I'm wondering if they are doing anything with that archive material, and if when they play it, I guess we get credit for it, but I was told, we can't get it back, but I just wondered if there's anything in there that we could possibly utilize.
Well, I like to stay on the positive side of things. We have, 70,000+ tapes, several thousand tapes from the Charles R. Armorconian collection went to UC Santa Barbara a few years ago, unfortunately, and that was given away. Jim Bennett, the former KPFA general manager, during the last turmoil in 2001, gave those tapes to Charles out of the KPFA archive. And I was negotiating with Charles to bring it to the archives, and he ended up sending it to UC Santa Barbara. And, it was pretty upsetting, I have to say, that occurred. But they have an agreement with them. I haven't had the time. I'm spending my time trying to digitize our remaining 50,000 tapes with a giant grant. And, and care for the current collection. So I haven't turned my attention to that, but from what I understand, it was perfectly legal for, Charles to give it to UC Santa Barbara. I wouldn't say that it was ethical of him to do it, but I don't think there's anything we can do legally at this point.
Thank you very much. And I do appreciate all that you do.
I'm going to ask a quick question, Mark, and that's about podcasting and other ways of monetizing the archives. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like maybe some old drama, whatever you have?
Yeah, absolutely. We can certainly license our materials to podcasts, and we actually have. A lot of these podcasts don't have a giant revenue stream, but we have generated some money from podcast licensing. That's not our best way of licensing. Some film production and documentary production companies have asked about some of our materials, and that's much better. But podcasting is perfectly great. And if Pacifica starts regular podcasts, I'm completely open to including our historical material in any of their productions.
Wonderful. We are at 12 minutes after. We do have an additional 5 minutes, but I'm wondering if people are feeling satisfied, we could move on to the next subject, which we've possibly already touched on a little bit, but it's monetizing the PRA. Can we move the conversation on to the next agenda item so we might have a little time at the end for something about our February financials and maybe even a report from our stations on how they're doing with their timeline. Is that acceptable?
Question.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Does that mean that we would vote on whether or not to approve this particular budget at the next meeting?
Oh, good point. I'm assuming that's just going to be done. Good point. Well, how about we move to that then? And would anyone like to make a motion to approve this budget for passing on to the PNB?
This is Lyndon. I move that we approve this budget and pass it on to the PNB.
Thank you, Lyndon. Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, is there any objection?
Let me read fast what I got. It's the usual. To approve the PRA FY21 budget and recommend it to the PNB. Okay?
That's similar to the previous language we've used, yeah. So that sounds good. Okay, any objection? Hearing none, that is done. Congratulations, Mark. And thank you for, you know, a great job. So let's go to our next.
Thank you all.
Is that okay with everyone if we move to the next agenda item, which is monetizing the PRA? And maybe we can go through that rather quickly since we seem to have already dealt with it. Do I hear any objection? Okay, we'll move on then to the next item, monetizing the PRA, PPP analysis, et cetera. Lyndon, this is your time. Do you want to go ahead?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Mark, I sent you an email on Friday morning. I hope you received that, to just allay any fears you might have of the idea that we're batting around, which has to do with these cryptocurrencies and non-fungible tokens. And I just thought that a market may develop. It may not be there right today, but it could be there in 3 months where we're able to participate in this. And right now people are throwing some crazy money at it. And so I wanted to really, really crazy money. You know, like the first tweet from the guy who is head of whatever company does tweets. I think he got 2.6 or 2.9 million just for that tweet, Jack Dorsey. So, you know, I was going to, you know, suggest that we as a group, as the PNB, get together and figure out, get our minds around what you have and what, and how we could do that. And I think you may have seen that you don't lose copyright. You can still, you know, reproduce and sell it. Maybe it's a vanity project for these people. I don't know, but the money is crazy. So I know I've talked about this before. I don't want to take up too much time on this. So does anybody have questions on it, or do you have anything you want to say about it, Mark?
Yes, Chair. I do have a comment, if I may. And that is... Is this the time to answer that?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. I would just like to say that while we're writing our grant to digitize the final 50,000, by the way, this grant that we're writing will include the digitizing, the metadata, and the creation of digital WAV files and MP3 files at a cost of $16 per tape for a total of a little over $925,000 approximately. And there's some incidental costs, which includes putting the several hundred terabytes of data onto supercomputers at the university and mirroring them here in Los Angeles, and they have a sister connection with the University of South Carolina, and so we would be on both coasts, and they're working on partnering with the University of Prague in Czechoslovakia, so we would be on two continents, and, you know, the digital storage of that is an expense that we would like to have afforded for decades into the future. But until we get this grant, like, copyright is a huge issue with people that are granting. And I would not like to jeopardize our grant, our ability to get the grant to do this work until after we get our grant, and I'm ready to start submitting like this week, really. I'm just cautious about putting our collection in a position where somebody can claim ownership to something, and then, you know, that being part of our grant and or not being part of our grant, and you know, devaluing the value of our collection, which is what is going to get us this grant in the first place. But I appreciate the idea that some of these things have that type of value. I think we need to proceed with caution with this collection, because we our copyright rights to these recordings has to do with our legacy attachment to these recordings. The copyright laws changed in the late 1970s, but everything before that has been grandfathered in and is attached to us. So, you know, giving up those rights in any way or, you know, compromising them in some way, you know, copyright law is super tricky and thorny. And, but at the same time, I'm open to, you know, any way at bringing in revenue. I'm just concerned that we don't separate some of the truly valuable recordings from our collection. That's my basic response to that.
James, may I go on?
Sure,
I'll take that as a yes. Yes, we proclaim we will, you know, work with you in all ways, and this is just embryonic right now anyway. And from our best understanding, from Alex has read it. They say that, you know, it doesn't infringe on your copyright at all. So, but we will definitely keep all of that in mind every step of the way as we go. And you would still have the storage. I think, you know, that'd probably be one of the things, we would still have to be storing this stuff. But you raised the, I wanted to know earlier, what is the value? What is the asset? What on our books, on our balance sheet? What are the archives, What's the number that's put with those?
Well, I don't think we've I haven't actually put a number on it. I haven't been asked about it. I'm not exactly sure what the value was placed on the archives using. I think it's part of this loan as a piece of valuable property, but I don't know what that number is. I haven't been asked about it. I mean, you know, in overall
value,
priceless, but, you know, it's nobody's asked me to really put a value on it, but, you know, if you had to, I mean, they're charging us $16 a tape just for the digitizing of it. You know, a value of any particular tape, it really varies. You know, the John Coltrane interview, somebody wants to use that in a film or, you know, in a classroom, you know, the value could be a lot, but it really depends. So.
Okay. I won't ask you to belabor that.
Yeah.
I wondered if there was one.
Yeah. We haven't designated it. Because of the varying value of each of the tapes. It's tough.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Hello? Who's next?
Chris Corey for the stack.
Did we lose James?
James, are you on mute?
We might have.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah. Sorry. Talking away on mute. I'm going to recognize, I think we had Arpal first, then Chris, and I'm going to ask if you could both be brief, and Mark, if you could make your answer brief. We're going to try and squeeze in a couple quick things at the end of this meeting. Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. Non-fungible tokens are just bizarre, and the legalities of what do you actually own and stuff is really strange. And I think that the way it will shake out is that if you have, like, I don't know, if you have the first pet rock, you could probably put that on an NFT, but doing things that can be licensed like this may you know, end up with some legal issues in the future. And I will also say that you may think there's a copyright on some of the older stuff, but technically it's not. However, on the other hand, it sort of is nearly. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark. Just briefly, I agree with what that last comment was. I will say that Pacifica definitely owns the master of every program we have. So even if we didn't own a copyright for whatever reason, whoever does own it would not be able to use this program without our getting at least 50% for the use of the master. Okay.
If they need it, yeah. Okay, and Chris?
Yeah, first of all, I don't believe there's any appraised value that's showing up on the balance sheet for this particular asset. And I agree with Mark that it would be extremely hard to come up with a value. I think that in the future, it might become a little bit easier. Once the content is digitized, it'll be more transferable. It'll be more marketable. It'll be more usable. And, or to use a term that's come up a lot tonight, more fungible. And once that takes place, then, you know, that thing will have a value as an asset. Whether we should actually declare that asset on the books is another matter entirely. There's normally a sort of taxable consequence for carrying assets. So it might be better to just bury that asset within the books of Pacifica. But in any case, I would describe the archives as precious, I guess. For lack of a better way of putting it. I'm not sure how we would put a value on them if we were to try and determine that. So I agree with Mark there, too. So it was purely a comment, no question. Thank you.
Great comment. I agree.
Good. Well, can we call this part of the meeting to a close and see if Anita can squeeze in a few words about the February financials? Are there any more questions? Okay. I'm going to thank you, Mark, very much. You did a wonderfully quick turnaround on the request for a budget and for an appearance, and we thank you. It was very enlightening.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm here for anyone if you need me.
Well, thank you again.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Anita, would you like to just give us some highlights on the...
Absolutely.
Go ahead, then.
Okay. I'm hoping that you either have the financial February's revised financials that I sent out, I want to say yesterday, perhaps. And assuming that you do, I mean, from my perspective, the financials really look good if you entertain the motion. I'll just make very few comments on it. And I'm looking at the consolidated page, the very first one, to row line 43, if you will, comparing Y to Z. And again, that shows that the foundation is at a bottom number of 1,000,267. Of course, we all know that we received in these financials have the PPP loan in there that was totally forgiven. So that is a reflection. When you compare it to prior year, of course, the variance prior year was $119,380 in the black. It's a variance of $1,147,000. Which is, quite frankly, tremendous. So that those funds were certainly well used. The other comment that I had, and then I'll take some questions, I wanted to point out that all the stations, if you click on KPFA as an example, again, line 36 in this case, column Y and Z, again, just look at the bottom line, the net income, if you will. really, really astonishing. Again, it's all the PPP funds that I just want to point it out, because there's nothing that is more enthusiastic for me is to present something that is positive. And certainly these funds have really helped to look, to appear on, in no doubt on paper that it's working, if you will. KPFK, and again, if I'm going too fast, please stop me.
No, please go right ahead, and we'll do more of this at our next meeting, Anita.
All right, just line 35, I wanted to point out the prior year they were at about $65,000 loss for at the end of February. Year-to-date is $154,000. The only one that I would comment on is WBAI. They're still showing a loss, line 31, of $103,000. Last year they were at about $118,000. So that is, includes the PPP funds also. But again, I would be happy to take more time in our next meeting and go through it.
Yes, Any questions? Let's do that.
Yes. Any questions that you might have?
This is Sharon.
Lyndon. Chris, this is Lyndon for the stack.
Chris Corey for the stack.
I'm afraid we're going to have to have a motion to extend for maybe 5 minutes. Would somebody like to make that motion?
Could I do 10, Chair? I think we can wrap everything up in 10.
I'm happy with that.
Motion
is there
to extend
any discussion,
for 10 minutes.
Is there any discussion on an extension for 10 minutes? Hearing none, is there any objection?
I just want to say that I was dumped and had to get back on the call. I don't know if that has happened to anyone else, but I'm back. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming back, Teresa. Okay, let's go ahead with 10 more minutes then. And we had Lyndon and then Chris, I think.
Well, Mr. Sharon.
There was a third person.
Hold on, Arpaul, go ahead.
Is there chaos here? I mean, my clock says it's 10:29 Eastern, and that means we would need to extend if we're going to go beyond more than 1 minute. And there's been no motion to extend, which would probably go through pretty easily and would keep things legal. So, anybody extend?
I thought we just did that. No.
We just extended for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Who's making the motion?
Chris Corey made the motion.
Chris Corey made the motion.
And it was passed without objection.
Maybe you were off and you didn't realize it. Okay.
No, I'm just paying attention.
Oh, okay. All right. So we have 10 minutes. So we have now first Lyndon and then Chris.
And Sharon for the staff.
Sharon,
I'm sorry. Okay, Sharon. Yes, I hear you.
Okay. This
Go ahead,
is Lyndon.
Lyndon.
We didn't get to my PPP question, but there. Today, but there's something in here in the tabs. If everybody who's looking at the Excel spreadsheet could hit the P&O tab, then you would see in cell W15 in January under miscellaneous other income that the national office got $282,000 in miscellaneous income. And that is part of the money that I am suggesting that we flow through to miscellaneous income to the unit so it can be reflected in central services. I just wanted to point that out. I'm done.
Thank you, Lyndon. Chris?
Okay. I have one question, but I just have some general comments about the consolidated. First of all, I want to point out line 8. Listener revenue is actually 1% over last year, which is good and actually fairly consistent over the last, I'd say, 24 months. I mean, it's been – listener revenue has been pretty consistently up about 1% across the network during that time, which is great. The where we see our our fortune's declining a bit is in terms of the larger donations, which have tapered off drastically during that same period. In this particular case, we've made up the difference with the PPP funding. I'll circle back to that in just a second. But the other line I want to bring to everybody's attention is line 33 on the consolidated. Expenses have fallen 9% across the network. Again, a really good thing, considering that our other revenue, other than the listener revenue, has been declining. So, and that's produced a result even without the PPP funding, that's approximately break even, which is once again great. I'm going to do a version of the spreadsheet that backs out the PPP funding because it's masking some of the losses in the individual units so that everybody can see that. But I think overall it's quite good network wide. I mean, to be at a break even during 12 months of the worst pandemic in 100 years in the United States, I think is an achievement. It's good. There's one line that I'm going to ask Anita to review for me, and that's the interest line. We passed an interest formula in this committee, and that was sent out to all the individual stations. The individual stations are supposed to be paying in proportion to their membership, I believe. I think that's what we decided. And I can see that some of those line items, it would be, if you just to use KPFA as an example, it would be line W68, I believe. You'll see the interest portion for KPFA. But some of the other stations are lacking an interest payment. So either it's not being treated as an accrual expense for the individual units, or the interest formula isn't being applied to those stations. It has to be one of those two things, but it's not quite, it's showing up on the, incidentally, on the P&O sheet, which is great. So it's being accounted for, but I'm not sure where that money's coming from. So that's my big question for Anita, and I'm sure she can't answer it. She'll have to look into it. Let's see. I had some other general comments about the opening to this meeting. If I can just have one more minute, James, is that okay?
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think that I want to point out to everyone who's listening that the failure of this committee to pass budgets for the last many years, including the ones where I wasn't chair of this committee, I think had more to do with the ability to obtain useful financial information out of the national office than it did anything else. It's very difficult for stations to construct meaningful budgets without meaningful data coming out of the national office. So I think the congratulations is due both to the committee and to NEDA in this particular case, because without NEDA, we wouldn't have anything to cross-reference our existing budgets to. They would be existing in a sort of vacuum. And I know that people want to just go ahead and write budgets in vacuums, despite the fact that it's a vacuum, but I would just alert everybody to the fact that the budgets, were they to have been presented over the last several years, would have been mythical. They wouldn't have had much meaning because there's no way to reconcile them to what's actually going on in the organization. So thank you. That's all I had to say.
Could I comment on that also?
Yes, please go ahead. I've got to say, I'm getting a call from Alex Steinberg, so I'm going to see if he wanted to chime in on this, if he's been listening. Go ahead, and I'm going to be gone for a second.
I'll be very, very brief. I really just wanted to comment, one, to thank Chris. The other is, and I should have done this earlier when Alex was with us, was because I felt that I need to reply back to him, so I've done an email, is that George Walter, which is the senior account, if you will, CPA on our account on the NETA side, told me a few days ago that everything has been uploaded on the shared drive, the CPA firm. The adjusted trial balance and the draft of the financials were done. I just wanted to share that with all of you because that is something that we're celebrating on our end, that we are so close. We will meet the deadline. I just wanted to share that. But thank you.
Hooray. Yeah. I do have Alex back on the call. I'm going to recognize him for a moment. he wanted to make a concluding remark, and I do want to try and get Beth and Fred on for a minute to report on their timeline and the situation at KPFK. So go ahead, Alex.
Excuse me, Chair.
Yeah,
I was Nick from DAC, and
I'm fine
to have Mr. Steinberg go, but then I believe I should go after that.
Well, you can go now if you wish. We have a couple minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay. Okay, I did have a couple questions, Anita. First, I want to say thank you. Yes, I agree with what Chris was saying. It is so nice to have, you know, numbers and to be able to compare year over year. I appreciate that you sent the vendor the aged payables report, and I was, like, stunned, honestly, that there's really only three outstanding on that. Is that actually 100% correct? And, in fact, that means that your NETA has been paid? Is that what that means?
Yes, we're current. Pacifica is
that
current.
Is excellent. Excellent news. Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for pointing that out, Sharon. Go ahead.
Okay. And my second is the one I kind of sent an email to you, and you sort of attempted to answer, but I guess I didn't quite understand. I'm still not clear on the difference between income that you say, like, three of the stations had income, and that WPFW showed a net gain. Is there a difference between those two?
And I apologize. I was probably not even home when I responded to you. If you look at an example on the revenue side, that is gross revenue, if you will, like line 24 on the consolidated, and then less expenses or any expense there, and then you have net income on line 43. That is the true bottom line, if you will, less all your expenses.
Okay, but so, I mean, maybe this isn't quite right, but what is the difference then between net gain and income? What is the difference between those two?
The net gain means that it's in the, if I'm following you, and I think you and Tamara were exchanging emails or what have you. I think she replied to that question, so I need to go back and look at her answer.
Maybe I didn't see that. Maybe it didn't come through to me or something. Okay, I don't think I saw that camera's email. But anyway, maybe this is not appropriate for here. I just, maybe at some point you could explain that to me or have camera. Yeah, explain that.
Have to. I'll see if I can call you tomorrow, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear Alex, and hopefully we'll have a quick minute for the KPFK directors to report on their timeline. Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I'll just be very brief. I was, after I got off the call, I was listening to your meeting on the stream, and I just want to say that I completely agree with Chris Corey's remarks. I think they're right on. I was the chair of this committee in 2017, and it was around that time that we began this situation where we couldn't do budgets because we weren't getting any financial situation. And no matter how much I wanted to get some budgets done as chair, it was just impossible. And I think it's not only, as Chris said, because of the work of this committee, but primarily because of the great work NETA has done in getting us the financial records that we're now in a much better position. So thank you, Anita.
Yes, I'll say I couldn't agree more with all of those sentiments, both Chris's and Alex's, and I'll add, thank you, Anita. So can we go now very quickly to
James, I'd like to move to extend for 5 minutes. Let's just move to extend for 5 minutes and get these items out of the way.
I would be very pleased to do that, hoping that it would go through. Is there any objection to extending for 5 more minutes? And then we could give Anita a response. Hearing no objection, we'll go for another 5. Thank you very much, everyone. I know it's a long meeting. So, Anita, would you like to respond to all the congratulations you're getting?
Just to say thank you very much. You know, we try very hard to have good quality customer service, and we just want to provide the product, and it's a personal goal, of course, for me to get totally complete or updated, and I'm feeling very, very good. And, again, I'll pass all this on to my staff, which, you know, quite frankly, has been working very, very hard lately, and certainly George certainly has. So, but thank you. I will carry that to them. And the
wonderful. Thank you again. Okay, is there anybody else with anything else before we go to the timeline progress?
R. Paul for fast.
All right. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, very fast. Nita, could you... Anita. The general manager of BAI is still having some problems regarding how to book the payroll and the PPP stuff and all of that. And could you or somebody from NETA please talk to him about that?
Be happy to. Bertol?
Bertol, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. All right. Let's go ahead now then to the KPFK director and treasurer and see if what they have to say about their timeline. Beth, you want to go ahead?
Sure, thank you. This is Beth Van Gunten, the director from KPFK, and did a report that after 7 attempts at producing a budget presented by KPFK management, none of which were found acceptable by the Finance Committee, the KPFK LSB passed a resolution without opposition to refer the process to the National Board for completion, having reached an impasse. It was agendized at the March 21st PND meeting, then referred to a closed session for reasons that remain unclear to me. It was to have been, they didn't get to the item that night. It was to have been re-agendized at a future meeting, but it hasn't been. Fortunately, the LSB resolution was directed not only to the PND as a whole, but also to the National Finance Committee and to the IED as well, which leaves us some route forward. I address it here now just to keep it moving, to get it on our future agenda whenever it's appropriate, and pass our information on to into the safekeeping of NETA so that it doesn't fall through the cracks again. I realize that there's a line and that there are others ahead of us and who are readier than we are. And so I accept that. That's the reality. But as far as I'm concerned, the sooner we get the information to NETA, the better. And just to keep it moving, I don't know whether there's I'm trying to be brief. If there are questions, I could take questions now. I don't know whether Fred wants to add anything to that.
Why don't we go to Fred and see if he has anything to add, and then we'll see if there's a question.
The only thing I have
anything
to say
to add,
is,
Fred?
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that basically the KPFK local finance committee asked the local station board to reject the budget as presented by management as being insufficient and inadequate. And it's now come up to the national level, and Beth has explained correctly what's taking place at the PNB level.
This is Beth again. So I'm hoping that the committee is agreeable simply to receive our information for future consideration.
Absolutely. You can always send us anything that you have.
You.
There's no restriction on that.
We'll do that.
Very good. And we'll spread it. Send it to the NFC NATF, the National Finance Committee address, and then everybody will see it.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions?
Actually, I'm supposed to ask them that, Beth, but I'm glad you did. That's okay.
Well, I'll defer to you. Sorry.
Okay. If there's nothing else, I think we can call this meeting adjourned. So be it.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, yes, Teresa?
Did you want me to report on the progress of the KPFT budget?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. The KPFT 2021 budget was approved by the KPFT LSB on March the 10th, our last LSB meeting. So, and I had been told by the business manager that it had been given to our interim executive director. So my question was, did she ever give it to you?
Yeah, I was told the same thing by your new interim general manager, and as far as I know, I have never received it. But I will double check, and if we have not, we can request that somebody send it to us, be it the IED or the new IGM. But yes,
so
we'll request it.
If you want our general manager and business manager to explain the budget to you, you can either ask me or you can contact them. If you want to schedule them to present that budget to the finance committee in 2 weeks, that's your
problem. Yes, that's the way it would be done. As soon as we're notified that it's available, then we would reach out to set a date for a presentation. And
review. I believe I've sent it to you, but I will send it to you again, and then you can contact the general manager unless you want me to.
Okay, when did you send it to me? When did you send it?
I sent it to you before it was approved by the LSB over a month ago.
Oh, before it was approved by the LSB. Okay. Okay. Very good.
But nothing has changed to it, and I will send it to you again.
Excellent. Well, that'd be okay. Make it easier to find. I appreciate that. Sure.
All right.
Very good. Thank you for that.
If you want to put that on the agenda, then it's now on your court. Okay?
Very good. We will. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. With that, then I think we can call the meeting adjourned. And thanks, everyone. Thank you, Anita. Thanks in absentia to Mark and Alex for coming. Thank you, Fred, for streaming. And
you're welcome.
Thank you to everyone.
Very productive
all
meeting.
The Secretary, thank you. Oh, next
night.
Meeting. We already did next meeting. Our Paul's.
Right. Yes, we did.
No, I said it's a very productive meeting.
Oh, productive meeting. Oh, very good. Well, thank you, Fred. All right. Yes, I agree.
Good night, all.
Thank you, everyone. Well done.
Good night.
Good night.